Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is the number one New York Times bestselling author, Mark Greene, who is out with his 11th Gray Man novel. This one is called Sierra 6. The book is available everywhere, and it is 150,000, 60,000 words of just excellent entertainment and action and adventure. But Mark, what I love about this book is it's basically a two-for-one. We got two novels for one here. Did you realize that you were giving the publisher such a great deal?
Oh, thanks for having me on, Brian. Yeah, no, that developed over time. That was almost an error. I knew I wanted to go back into the past and talk about some of court's history, but I wanted it to relate to something that happened in the present. So when the book was over, I looked at it and I realized I had two 80,000-word novels that were interwoven. You know, they relate to each other, but you have two different timelines, 12 years in the past and in the present. And, when I look back on it, I was like, wow, they're kind of like equal in size, aren't they?
Well, so many times when a book comes out, you just get little splashes of a character's history from that leads them up to a certain point. And so when you go back and take a deep dive into somebody's history and write that story, how do you have to be careful to make sure that not only the story makes sense for the particular book, but there's 10 other novels that this history has to make sense for? So how do you bridge that gap?
Yeah, that was pretty much what I thought about all day, every day last year, because I had interspersed all the other books with just little quips about things that he'd done or places that he'd been and the timeline of when he was there. So as I went back to this period, I did have to reread segments of other books and kind of work things out, like where would this fit in between other deals? There's a bunch of people who have died in the series who, were living 12 years ago in the first timeline, so you kind of resurrect these characters that you missed. So that was a fun part of the job as well.
Do you have to literally track out a timeline of sorts for your literary characters to make sure that the timelines of their death make sense? Because it seems like you can get away with some of these continuity errors in a television series. Books are a lot different.
Yeah, anytime someone asks me if I do an efficient thing for my writing, I always have to confess that I don't. My writing is not efficient. It just all appears kind of in a mishmash in my head, and then I put it down on a Word document, and then I try and edit my way back and figure things out and correct my mistakes. I wish I could do mind mapping and timelines and stuff like that, but I just really don't. It just is a big mess in my head that it turns into a mess on the page, and then I keep working on it until it doesn't look so messy anymore.
Well, this whole idea about a Sierra 6, can you explain what that is? Because I think it's a very interesting background.
Yeah, so the CIA has a paramilitary unit called Ground Branch. It's part of their Special Activities Division, now called the Special Activities Center. And they are paramilitary units that go out and, you know, they're the tip of the spear of CIA kind of kinetic physical operations. And in the first book, I talk about Court had been in a unit called Golf Sierra, and they became known as the Goon Squad. And so this book is him being introduced into Golf Sierra when he's a young, cocky, 25-year-old CIA officer.
Do you have trouble with a 25-year-old Court Gentry versus the Court Gentry that we know today? Because clearly you gain knowledge not only from the paramilitary standpoint or from his activity standpoint, but just from basically being alive for that long, you gain a lot more knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an important part of the story. And it was daunting, but it was also kind of fun to dial back the clock a dozen years on the character I've been writing about for the last decade and seeing him as a younger man. And then when you go back into the scenes, because it's the two novels are, they kind of run concurrently, in the present, I want to show him more mature, more world-weary, perhaps more intelligent. In the past, he's a little bit brash and cocky, but he learned a lot on the way just in that, you know, time period in the past. So it's tough because you had to do it to other characters as well. There's other characters that you see in the present and in the past. And it was kind of an interesting thing to think about, like, well, when you're 25, how would you react to the situation? And when you're 37, how would you react to the situation? So it's kind of a fun part of the novel to piece that together.
How do you also turn back the clock from a time point, time-wise standpoint for technological things or the way of the world things? Because the enemies were different 12 years ago than they are now. So how do you turn back that clock as well?
Absolutely, they are. I did a lot of research. At the time, I was very, you know, aware of current events, but I went back and did a lot of research on U.S. coalition operations along the Afghanistan-Pakistan border about a dozen years ago. Our relationship with Pakistan, what terrorist groups were up and running, what criminal organizations were up and running. So I wanted to make it as accurate as possible when you do that snapshot of the past. And then in the present, things are different, but in some ways not so different, which is why there's two ticking clocks in this novel that the hero has to stop.
I'm chatting with Mark Greeny about his latest Gray Man novel. This one's called Sierra 6. It's available everywhere. And Mark, as you sat down to write this book, the part of the trouble, I think, when people try to tell backstories is they get too bogged down in the stories and don't relate it to anything, and then people lose interest. And so when you made sure that everything in the past affected something in the present, what was your literary mindset as you would go from chapter to chapter to make sure readers didn't get bored with one chapter and just skip it to find out what happens in the next, in the counter novel?
Yeah, that was a struggle. I had always told myself I was going to write an origin story about his history at some point, and then when it came time to do it, I thought, well, everybody knows that he's alive and kicking in the present, so how exciting is it to talk about his past? But then I realized that I could relate something that happened in the past, that itself is a full, fleshed-out story, to something that was going on in the present, and do it that way. But the other part of your question was, how do you make sure that one isn't more exciting than the other? I really worked at that a lot because, you know, like all last summer I was going like, is this timeline more interesting? Because we've all read books where you get to a new plot line and you're like, oh, I've got to get through this to get back to the cool stuff. And so I had to make just as much action, just as much tension, just as much intrigue in both of the timelines.
When you're dealing with international figures in these books, are there any restrictions placed on you creative-wise that you can't make this particular country an enemy, like we seem to see in Hollywood movies where, especially with Chinese, you can't have a Chinese enemy in certain movies because of Chinese investors?
Yeah, I don't, no one's ever said that to me, and my working principle is that, you know, everybody in the world has good guys, you know, every nation, every whatever, color, whatever, as good guys and bad guys, and, you know, you should write about them and not, you know, just have your villains all have accents or whatever, but you can just sort of use what you want. No one has ever edited me or told me anything like that. I actually sell books in China, and I have one of my Gray Man novels, the Chinese government were the villains, and it will probably happen again. But, yeah, there's only a limited number of, like, peer nations that are threats to America, which is good, obviously, in the real world. But when you're a thriller writer, you're like, okay, I don't want to do another North Korea book. You know, what's this one going to be about? So I think Sierra 6 has this interesting balance of things that everybody knows were happening in the past and something that's happening in the present.
Do you have the freedom also to do whatever you want with the character? If you wanted to kill Gray Man off at some point, could your publisher tell you, no, we want to keep this series going forever? How does that work as far as the creative process?
Well, contractually or legally, I could kill him off in my next book, but I would really disappoint some people, and I don't want to do that either. But yeah, no, I have creative freedom. I have a fantastic editor, and before I start any book, we talk and talk about what I want to do, and then I go write it for 6 months and give it to him, and then we talk and talk about what, you know, we'll tweak little things here and there. So I have all the creative freedom in the world I need, but I think I would get a phone call if they read a book where Court, you know, got his head chopped off.
And then just from your own personal life, you're writing now as a married man, which is something that when this series started, you were not doing. So how does the married life affect your ability to get time to write? Because now you have other obligations.
Yeah, I'm not just a married man. I'm married a woman with three kids. So I have three stepchildren, teenagers. And I had two dogs previous to this, and she has two dogs, so we're now four dogs. You know, so I'd say the main difference is that there's not nine mouths to feed, but I do have a kind of a detached house behind our house, and this is where I come to work, and nobody bothers me back here. The kids are completely disinterested in what I'm doing back here, so it feels like I'm going to an office every day and having all the kind of privacy and distraction-free zone that I need. So that aspect of it's worked out really good. But, you know, I coach soccer. I do all these other things, you know, familial things that I wasn't doing in the past. But I still am writing the same number of words somehow.
And they seem to get better with age as these books have just gotten better and better over the years. This one is the 11th one. It's Sierra 6, the latest Gray Man novel by Mark Greedy. It's available everywhere. Mark, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I thank you for joining me today.
Thanks so much, Brian.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
But not up in the high Sierra.